Okay, we're going to call this meeting to order. Good morning. And thank you for coming to our meeting. I am excited about presenting our Parks and Trails bill this morning and would like to go over it with the committee and would like to talk a little bit about the process before I begin that and kind of share with members and the public some of the issues that we have learned through this journey and talk about some of the priorities that people have brought to our attention and some of the challenges that we face with respect to this. So, Senator Frederickson.
I just had to remark, when you're dividing up $65 million, people show up for the committee.
Absolutely, Senator. But it seems that in the context of the entire legacy fund, this was kind of the smallest portion, and so we had a relatively easier task considering what other committees, subcommittees had to do. And members, I think what was most important to me as the chair of the subcommittee was to really learn that Minnesotans are so proud of our parks and trails system and that all the institutions that are in charge of these systems are working with the public in a very diligent way to make sure that we continue to protect this system that we're so proud of. And so today we know that what the state park system that was founded more than a century ago, when only 32,000 acres of wilderness surrounding Lake Itasca were set aside for future generations to enjoy today. Today we have 66 state parks that are the envy of the nation, preserving large expanses of Minnesota's beautiful landscapes, forests, forest of ancient pine and oak, pristine lakes, clear waterfalls crashing into Lake Superior, and much more. But I think what is interesting about this conversation of parks and trails is that every time I've asked the question of what do you think, or in your opinion, what is the most beautiful park in the state of Minnesota? Undoubtedly, the response of most people is, it depends. It depends. And this is kind of a Minnesotan answer. You know, we're so nice. We don't say, oh, so-and-so, this is the most beautiful park. This is the most interesting trail. The answer is, it depends. And I think this is a very reasonable answer for us because in Minnesota, it depends on what you really want to do in a park because we can do pretty much anything we want. We have parks where we can go camping, hiking, fishing, swimming, canoeing, name it, we have it. So we're very proud of that, and that's why our response is always, it depends. And we also know that local and state organizations who are responsible for maintaining and preserving our parks are doing extraordinary work. While each system has a different mission, different goals, and different clientele, each system is based in varying degrees on similar public benefits. These benefits include preserving natural resources, protecting open space, protecting cultural historical resources, and providing recreational opportunities for all Minnesotans. So those are the great things that we know about our parks. But we face significant challenges, and I am going to talk about only two or three because we do have session right after this subcommittee meeting. So I think the greatest challenge that we face today is that we have a fragmented system that is underfunded. And for us, in trying to really look at how do we use this new funding, we had to recognize that. So I think the most pressing issue for us is that we need to conduct an evaluation of the financial stability of the parks and trail systems in our state. We have DNR, the park systems, have been in sharp. The general fund budget for DNR and our park systems have been in sharp decline for several years now. We lost 30% of funding since 2003 for this particular fund. And so what we know, if we continue this trend, is that we are going to have more reductions in the future. So, and we also know that DNR estimated that we need about $125 million over the next 2 years for acquisition of land and development and rehabilitation of state parks. So the need is huge, and we are not investing enough. So we're trying to figure out here how to establish the priorities, and we've done, I believe, which is a first step for towards moving us in a direction of finding better ways of using the existing funding, or and also figuring out how are we going to use the new funding, the legacy funding, to meet the priorities in these challenging times. I am going to go through the bill and hopefully go into the feedback or provide some feedback, present to you some of the feedback that we have received from several groups that work in this area. And I think that I am going to stop in two parts of the amendment that we're going to review this morning, because they are the most significant parts of this proposal. And before I do that, I think I need to move the A2 amendment in order to review it. So I would like to...
Madam Chair, I can move it on your behalf.
Thank you, Senator Anderson.
Move the A2 amendment to Senate File 2043.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. All of those in favor of that, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The amendment is adopted. So with the assistance of our great staff, I am going to go through this bill to explain how we adopted recommendations from the public, from different organizations that are involved in this. And I think this bill, as you can tell, is a very simple bill. I am not going to talk about percentages, but just about numbers, because the conversation at the beginning of this term was really, in Parks and Trails, was mostly about formulas, and I wanted to move away from that because I wanted to talk about priorities and the vision for Parks and Trails. So in Section 2, we have an appropriation that will be going to the Department of Natural Resources, and we are defining some of the priorities. Number one, to connect people to the outdoors, providing access. Number two, to accelerate natural resource management. Number three, to accelerate facility maintenance and rehabilitation. And the appropriation is $13 million and, for the first year and $15.5 million for the second year. Next to this, we have for the second year, first and second year, we have the grants under the new Minnesota statutes for 3.5 and 4.3 for the second, making a total of 16.5 and 19.8 for 2011. We further develop some criteria that is included in the bill. I am going to stop in here in Section 2.3, because I think one of the struggles we had this year is really talking about how do we define regional significance. And I think this is an issue that we're going to continue to work on. And as you can see in the language, we have not provided specificity because we have some work to do. And in order to really look at how do we use this funding, we have to, I propose that we convene some hearings during the interim to really talk about regional significance. I think rural Minnesota, metropolitan area, have some very good ideas that they would like to propose, and we need to talk about it. We run out of time, so we don't have specific language included in this bill as of this time. We, in section 215, we asked the commissioner to submit an annual report on the expenditure and use of this money in order to provide transparency and make sure that we know how these dollars are being used. This report must relate to the expenditure of funds by the categories established and detail the outcomes in terms of additional use of parks and trails resources. Next, we have in 227, section 3, the allocation that will be provided to the metropolitan area. And we have the distribution is included in there for the first year, $13 million and $15.5 for the second year. In here, you see, you will see that there is a formula that has been included. This formula was proposed by the metropolitan area. They work on this formula, so that has been included as a per their recommendation. So it was not our determination. The distribution was not done by the legislature by itself. We received that recommendation. We have an appropriation here, members, section 4, for the University of Minnesota to the Board of Regents to create a statewide parks and trails framework and system inventory. Some members are aware of, all of you, I think, are aware of the problem that we have today in terms of not having a comprehensive system in place, a statewide system that we are able to review every year. So this is an attempt to bring that concept together and to develop this framework for the future. And we are asking the University of Minnesota to do this because we believe that they have the technical capacity to do that. The work that we're asking the university to do is better defined in Section 7, page 4, which is explained what is that we're asking the university to do. The formula for parks and trails is better explained than in Subdivision 2, Subdivision 1 and 2 for Parks and Trails Fund. And in Section 6, we have the Parks and Trails Grant Program, which is established. It's a new program. It's money that will be going to the Department of Natural Resources. And in here, I want to make clear, members, that we have established priorities only for trails. And the reason is that when we talk about legacy and when we talk about putting together these a specific fund, I think it was clear to me that people talk about trails and connectivity, providing opportunities for commuters. It was clear to me that people have a statewide vision for trails and that we need to use some legacy dollars to do this. And so we're setting aside some money that we could use for that. Now, that doesn't mean that that is the only way this money is going to be used. You know, we only define that criteria in this legislation. But there has been, I think some senators have asked the question of why is that we do not increase the regional parks grant money? Why is that we don't put more money into that? My response to that is that we are not able to do that right now simply because we need to look at what is the criteria that we need to put in place in order to expand this. For trails, I think people agree that we need to create connectivity, but for parks, we still, you know, have some work to do. And that is the reason we're only providing, you know, it is significant. We're providing almost $8 million right now without criteria. And so we are, some of us are very hesitant about even doing that. I think we need to do some work during the interim and then come back to really put some criteria in place for the use of these dollars in the future. And finally, in Subdivision 2, page 5, we have a report that is related to the creation of the framework and inventory that the Center for Changing Landscapes is going to create, and hopefully that will be the framework that we will be using here to look at priorities for the future, and in hopefully next year, because the report is due in 2010, we will be using this to establish the criteria for the future. So I don't know if I missed anything.
Well, Madam Chair, just to mention a couple things. On page one, lines 1.24 to 2.5, you will see language on including enhanced naturalist programs. Senator Sieben had a bill in with a naturalist conservation or naturalist corps. And then on 1.30 to 1.32, you do see some language on including energy efficiency improvements. And that has been in the discussion in the legislature and on the LCCMR for that. So that language. And then actually on page two, I think a technical change would be to on 2.28, delete everything after A paren, and then delete lines 2.29. We don't need that part. You see the blanks in there anyways. We already have the total amount. Mm-hmm. And then on 2.30, before Minnesota, insert new, because we do have a new subdivision too. It's always good to highlight that when it's part of the bill so people don't go looking for it in the statutes when they're see the rider. But if you wouldn't, if somebody could move that, I think that's just a technical change to this.
Madam Chair, I would make that motion.
Okay, all of those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion is adopted, amendment is adopted.
And then, Madam Chair, I just think that the reports in both situations are they're going to go to the legislature broadly. And the language on in 3.195 has the reports also going to the library and other places for the public to see. So, there is specific language in section 3.195, and you'll see it in two places on 2.18, 2.19, and then 3.1 and 3.2, and that's to make sure that it gets broadly reported, not just to the committees, but to the library, and they actually put it out on their website and everything else. So I just wanted to point that out. And then, Madam Chair, the Section 5 is from your original bill, 2043, and Section 7 is from your other bill, which was Senate File 2028. I just want to make sure that people understand where those came from. Section 6 was, I think, a part of a governor's recommendation. It's been reworked, basically, for the Parks and Trails Grant Program, just to explain to people where some of these things have come from.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Anderson.
I'm looking for the part about the library.
Well,
where's that?
Madam Chair, Senator, you won't see it in the language. Okay. It's in Section 3.195.
It's me there. Sorry.
So that's 219. Which is
lines
two.
What?
It's 3.2 on page 3 and also on 2.19. So basically, by referencing that statute, when you say that it's to the legislature, there's some broad language on who it all goes to. The Senate gets so many copies, the House gets so many copies, it goes to the legislative library. And,
thank you.
Madam Chair?
Senator Romo.
Madam Chair, on page 2, lines 2.8 and 2.9, you're talking about a strategic state parks and trails plan. And then on page 4, lines 2.24, you're talking about a 25-year framework. Can you tell me what the difference is between these two? And I notice one is produced by the commissioner and one is produced by the university.
Senators and Senator Romo, I think these are really two different components, but you will see that with the legacy funds we have, you know, really different pieces that need to come into one. And I think my understanding is that the final bill is going to have one framework and kind of plan for 25 years. The commissioner's report.
Madam Chair. So this is the same framework that's part of the Clean Water Bill?
Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, Senator Rummel, it's not the same, but it's got some similar features to it. I mean, in both cases, we're asking the university, but in this very different parts of the university, to lend their expertise and their scientific expertise in particular to helping us create guidelines for sustainability for water on the one hand, and in this case it's the Center for Changing Landscapes, I believe, at the university that would do this framework for sort of the overall parks and trails system. So they're similar in that regard, yes.
Senator Rummel, I want to make clear, the parks and trails portion of it will be a contribution to the larger plan, because mm-hmm. each subcommittee is going to have to develop a plan based, you know, on sure. the needs and the different responsibilities that this particular area has. Mm-hmm. The other part of it, so this is a piece that will be part of the larger plan, and it only pertains to parks and trails. But the other piece is that DNR and, you know, the Metropolitan Council and the different counties are currently working on their plans and their priorities. That is not only these plans are priorities for the future of parks and trails are not only related to the legacy fund, but in general for parks and trails. And what we want to make sure is that we give them, you know, they need to work on that. But these things need to be connected, because one of the problems we have right now is that every region, every program, every organization is creating their own plan, their own goals, their own, you know, vision for the future, developing priorities. And what we want to make sure here is that we establish a connection. So all of these needs to be connected at the end, because we're talking about the same parks and trails. This is a different fund, and they need to establish a mechanism to separate the funding. But at the end of the day, this is the same system.
It all has to work together.
It all has to, you know, it has to complement. Whatever we do has to be complementary.
Madam Chair.
Senator Vickerman.
Looking at the spreadsheet.
Yes. And you have a spreadsheet that was put together by the staff so that you can look at the numbers here. These numbers are also in the amendment in the legislation, but this way you're able to see. Yes, Senator Vickerman.
When I look, you tell me information on this. $13 million, if I read this right, goes to the Metro Parks, but $13 million is spread over the whole state. Where $13 million is designated for the Metro Parks. Am I reading this right? I'm going to have a hard time defending that out where I live, who worked and voted, worked very hard. Well, Senator, what area do you represent? You represent the Metro, or do you represent all of Allstate, Minnesota? I want to represent both of them. I'm just trying to get some kind of a comfort language, or maybe I don't understand it.
Senator Vickerman, if you look at what is defined in this as the regional parks, okay, and you combine that with state parks, what is the number that we have, Mr. Mueller, combining these two? I don't have that with me.
Madam Chair, if you combine the best probably to look at the total, the amount for fiscal year 10 and 11, so we have $28.5 million for state parks. There's $7.8 for regional parks, which could include parks throughout the whole state. So if you add those two together, you get $36.3 million. And then it's $28.5 million for Metro Parks. So there's the same amount of money for state parks, same as Metro Parks. They both get $28.5. And there's extra $7.8 million for other regional parks that could be throughout the state. So right now there's actually, like I said, it's an even split between state parks, Metro Parks, and then there's a separate pool for regional parks.
So, Mr. Mueller, can you give us an example of some Madam Chair, some regional parks as opposed to state parks? I get them all mixed up.
Senator, for these particular, right now, what we have as recognized as state parks, we have 66 state parks. And the challenge, you know, of defining the regional significance is still here for us. But what we have in terms of how the metropolitan area has defined regional in different ways from the out of the metro, from the greater Minnesota regional parks. So in the metropolitan regional parks, the system include 48 regional parks as defined by this particular group. But then in greater Minnesota, these are parks that are outside of the 7-county metro park system but serve Minnesota residents on a regional basis and are managed by a local unit of government. That means a city or a county. According to LCMR, we have 106 parks outside of the metro area that meet the LCMR accepted criteria for regional park. And that's, again, a challenge for us because that's a definition has been created by different people in the state. So if you ask the metropolitan region, they recognize 48 regional parks. If you ask the greater Minnesota area, as defined by LCMR, we have 106 regional parks. So, Senator Rommel, the answer to your question is that we still struggle with the whole issue of defining regional because now regional is being defined by regions, and now we need to come back and figure out how do we define this as a state. I think that's, at least that's my understanding of the current system right now. Senator Saxop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, I applaud the work that you've done in the committee because I think given our time restraints, all these committees have really done a terrific job. One of our problems in the current deficit that we're in is just trying to avoid supplanting. I mean, that's been a problem, and of course we want to supplement, and that's the key thing. The other thing is we've had some time restraints. I mean, when we talk about this first year that we're trying to get out, we've had virtually no time to do any type of planning. We've just been trying to fit it in here between other committee assignments and everything else. So I think you've done a great service. And I wouldn't normally think with what's happened here that it's a good idea to be kind of going out 2 years, 2011. I think each year we ought to continue to take a look at this. But I think given our time restraints in the first 2 years that it's wise that you do as we're doing here, go both 2010 and 2011. I hope in the future that that we're going to, I see that percentages are important to try to figure out who's doing what and how many parks there are and everything. But I hope in the future, once we get kind of a basic framework down, that we'll be working on amounts of money versus percentages. And along with the studies that you've started and appropriated for in here, I think that'll give us a better idea on how we ought to be using this money. So.
Thank
again,
you,
I applaud the work, and I think that this is a beginning. It isn't the end, so to speak.
Thank you, Senator Sachs. And I think, for members, unlike the Water Committee, unlike the Habitat Committee and other committees, we didn't have the opportunity really to rely on recommendations, reports that have been given to the legislature about parks and trails that were statewide. We had recommendations and documents that came from different regions, from different counties about strategies and priorities. We still have to do that work because I think our commitment to the state needs to be that we're going to put this criteria together and that criteria is going to be based on a long-term vision for parks and trails for the state of Minnesota. And the framework, that's the main reason we are funding this project with the University of Minnesota so that they will be able to give us that information, and then we will put that together and to have a conversation about the future of parks and trails for the entire state of Minnesota. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to ask a question, and for staff, if you can tell us, maybe Mr. Mueller, if you know off the top of your head, what the traditional funding has been for the DNR Regional Parks Program. It's a new program. We've only funded it a couple times. I know the LCCMR has put money into it once or maybe twice, but it's a pretty small amount of money compared to this. I just wanted to sort of put it in perspective, if you can help us with that.
Madam Chair and Senator Anderson, I do not know the number off the top of my head. It's traditionally been a money available through the bonding bill or through LCCMR, and it has been much smaller than what is being put into this bill right now. I think a couple million dollars, but.
Madam Chair, that's what I was thinking. Around $2 million was in my head, and that could be wrong. Maybe we can check by the time the full division meets, just to sort of put this in perspective that this is a big appropriation for that new program that will allow, and especially in greater Minnesota where there's a need for larger parks that serve a region, to have a source of money to go to. And I think it is important that there aren't percentages in this bill, there aren't formulas around the state, that this is a starting point for what seems to be a fair division. And then, but it's an evolving process, and that I think we do need these planning processes to get us towards a more, you know, more definition of what we need around the state. And as, you know, population changes, and if, you know, the regional centers grow, I think that need will grow for those regional parks. St. Cloud already has a very strong regional park system that they're working on developing, and this will support that, among others. And so I think this is setting the stage for in a good way.
Madam Chair, just on this point, I just want to point out to members something that I didn't point out earlier. If you look at 1.11 and 1.12 on the amendment, you will see that all appropriations of this act are one time only, so that the 2011 legislature will start fresh and making decisions about where the money is going to go. None of this money is included in the base of these agencies.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Connell. Any other questions?
Madam Chair,
Senator Vickerman.
I'm not criticizing your leadership, because I think you have done a good job. My only concern is that I have to be able to go back and explain, because I represent outstate Minnesota, the whole southern part of Minnesota. Hopefully before we get done, I'll have that explanation. But you've worked hard on this. We have worked hard on this. But I'm starting to get phone calls now and said, what part of the state you represent. And so I have children in the metro. I love metro parks. So I'm just trying to figure out some way to I live a tough life, but I don't want it to be any tougher.
Thank you, Senator Vickerman. Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, Senator Vickerman, maybe I'll try to tackle that a little bit, because this is a discussion that we're all going to be having in the Senate as this bill moves forward. And I would say that The state parks and the metro parks, I've always envisioned them as being, there's a balance that should be achieved between them, because, and I know you've been a huge supporter of Como Park and other parks in the metropolitan area, and I've been a supporter of parks around the state and the state parks, and I'm trying to visit all of them with my children, and you know, and that's true for
a busy life.
If we ever get out of here.
Home again.
And that's right. There's a lot of those parks. And we know that visitors go back and forth between both of the systems, and that all of us people in my district try to visit those state parks too. There's a lot of visitorship there. But there's, you know, the balance is in part between the metro parks have over 30 million visitors a year. The state parks have about 8 million. And so you balance the usage and the visits with the fact that the state parks have huge amounts of land. And so you have to sort of find a balance between those different factors. And when we get to the full bill, we're going to have the water recommendations and the habitat recommendations. And you'll see that the habitat recommendations, I've raised some of those questions about that my constituents are going to not be so happy with me when they see that at best 10% of the habitat money will go to the metro area. And that's in the best interpretation, you know, in terms of selection of where the different projects will end up. And knowing that in the metropolitan area, the vast majority of the money from the constitutional funds will be raised in the metropolitan area, and that my constituents are going to complain about that, even though we want to support habitat around the whole state. We all want to do that. And so trying to find the perfect balance is not an easy job. I think that this this regional parks fund, making that a significant chunk of money, is a start also to helping to recognize that it's, you know, as Senator Saxhog said, hopefully sometime we won't even be talking about percentages between the metro and greater Minnesota. We'll be talking about the whole state as we grow and evolve and population continues to change and move around. You know, this is all about the whole state. And so it's not a science, it's an art to try to find that balance. But I think that this is an important part of that balance. I think it's a fair proposal.
Senator Vickerman, another thing that I want to make sure you do with your constituents, because I think this has been a kind of a challenging job for me in terms of really doing this. That is precisely why we are creating and setting aside some money to really create this state framework, because unfortunately what has happened now is that we have defined these distributions kind of based on size, needs, and this formula really did not come out of, I am a metro person and this is how this formula is going to work for the metro area, or this is, you know, the bill that we heard from rural. It really wasn't. This is more a continuation of funding for priorities as they are defined today. So we're going to continue to do that, because what I heard through multiple conversations with all of these organizations that work with, you know, the Metropolitan Council, DNR, the counties, is that we really need to continue to do some of the work that we have been doing. And in hearing their presentations, I think that those were very responsible recommendations. The problem that I had with this is that when I heard them presenting this, it sounded like, you know, we want to supplant because we're losing so much money. We've lost 30% since 2003. And I said, well, wait a minute. We have to figure out how do we separate this. We really need to be very careful with how we do this, because in the future, what we want to make sure is that we show how we use our legacy money. We're going to continue to fund programs somewhat at a level that they have been funded in the past, but we really need to work during the interim to find out how is that we use these legacy dollars for the future. So I hope that you present that to your constituents, because this is about the future of parks and trails, and that's the work that we're going to be doing during this time to establish those priorities will take into account the priorities of the state, whether they are urban, suburban, rural. That's where we're going to go. So this is a one-time distribution based on recommendations that have come to us from different groups based on the current on the existing needs, rather than, you know, this is metro, this is rural. Based on the recommendations, based on existing needs, we put these numbers in place. And these may change, because we may learn that the priorities for the state are changing and that we need to pay more attention to certain regions, and we will see what that looks like in the future. Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, kind of on the same point, where we're directing the Commissioner of Natural Resources to administer a program to provide grants. DNR has a long-time program for funding local and regional parks that's been very successful over the years. And that program's received money from the old Future Resources Fund, the Environmental Trust Fund, General Fund, bonding money. And I don't know if the commissioner is going to develop a whole new program for these regional grants, or they'll try to fit it into the existing successful program. But a thought I had for... I get some of the same calls that Senator Vickerman does, of people that love their local parks and would like to see money coming from local parks, even though when we're passing the amendment and talking about it, we're talking about regional parks and statewide parks. Another avenue of funding that we can all be conscious of is LCCMR, Environmental Trust Fund. We can put money into the local parks program there, which we have in other years, and also make sure that program is funded through bonding and general fund, if we ever have general fund money to do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it appears to me that somebody, and I assume it's going to be this subcommittee, is going to have a lot of work to do. So, Madam Chair, are you going to have work sessions through the summer? Are they going to metro regional CMR. Parks and state parks to do that? CMR. Or what are your plans for our summer?
I bring my kids.
Yeah. Has the chair of the division given you a nice budget so we can do this?
I will have to ask the chair of our Environment Committee or Finance Committee to really look into that. But very definitely, Senator Fredrickson, I think we are going to have multiple meetings. This is really going to take a tremendous amount of work because we want to make sure, Senator Vickerman, that we put a distribution system in place that really is connected to priorities rather than, you know, kind of the political muscle that or strength that some of us may have or may not have. It really has to be based on priorities and needs. And so that's the intent here. And so we're going to have to do significant work here in the interim. And I hope that we're able to visit some of the parks so that I think that will give us a clear perspective and a better perspective on how to establish priorities. Senator Fredrickson.
And Madam Chair, on a whole another topic, Senator Anderson mentioned the number of visitors that metro parks have and state parks, and I'm familiar with those numbers too, and that's one way of evaluating the usage of parks and the importance of parks, but also it's important that we look at the unique features of parks and protecting unique habitats and unique features, even though they might not receive as many visitors as another park in either system. I think it's important that we have those natural attributes, natural resources protected and available for people to experience, even if they can't or don't want to necessarily go park and spend a lot of time there and camp, but that they are able to observe them.
Thank you. Senator Saxon.
Madam Chair, as you know, and I think you and I have discussed this numerous times, it's and building off of what Senator Fredrickson said, this whole idea, the 400,000 of the study by the University of Minnesota and resulting website that we hope is going to be super outstanding. And you know, I think we're, particularly our state parks tend to be underutilized. And you've got to maintain state parks whether they're utilized or not utilized. And I just think we can do a lot better with our trails and parks in the state of Minnesota in terms of use. So this one little piece that we've put in there for $400,000, I hope that's going to grow some real it's going to help get more people interested in our trails and parks, and it's what we need.
Thank you, Senator Saxon. Yes, Senator Vickerman.
On the issue of the LCCMR, we're already putting our projects, they're coming in, it's about 140, it was over there yesterday. I think we need to take a close look, because if you can get money from this, then why do we want to take it from LCCMR? Because we never have enough. I want to be sure we don't overlap. I don't know who does that, but Ellen, maybe you know, but you follow me?
Senator Anderson.
You know, Madam Chair, Senator Vickerman, I know Senator Rummel has asked me this question many times. Who's deciding which fund is for what purpose? And the answer is we are. All of us are. There's no answer. There's no simple answer. But we do need to really deliberate about that if we're going to try to focus. Now we have four constitutional funds to protect our outdoors. I mean, thank you, voters, for that. But we need to make sure that we think intentionally about which funds are used for what purposes, or maybe we just want them to be creative and decide every year what they're for. But it's something that bears a lot of thought, and we need to continue those discussions, I think. But we certainly don't want to duplicate what's going on.
We want to stretch the money as far as we can.
Yes,
stretch.
That's right.
Could I put just a little bit of a historical perspective into this most recent discussion? The LCMR began because the state of Minnesota was doing a very poor job of funding state parks. And a legislative task force was formed, as I understand it, back in the early 1960s to evaluate how the state might better support state parks. The result of that study was the establishment of LCMR, the Future Resources Fund, which was funded with a small part of the cigarette tax. And their first charge was to better fund state parks. So that's sort of the foundation even yet of LCCMR.
Yeah, great, thank you.
Another aside, there's a beautiful park in Redwood Falls called Alexander Ramsey Park. That was a state park for some 50 or 60 years, or 40 or 50 years, and the state was doing a very poor job of funding it. It got the local folks upset, and they asked the state legislature to take it out of the state park system and put it back into the ownership of the city of Redwood Falls, which they did.
Yeah.
And LCMR visited that city park here about 10 years ago. And some members of the LCMR wanted to put it back into the state park system.
The amount of resources that are available, you know, either locally or state, will change, and that's the struggle that we face. Members, I wanted to point out before we finish this that there are two issues that are mentioned in here, and I think Mr. Knopp alluded to them. They're in page one. They were Senator Stevens' bills about the naturalist programs and also the use of renewable sources of energy. You might want to know that in the House there are significant provisions, I understand, in their bill to fund these two programs, and they are described very specifically, and a big portion of this funding will be is allocated in their proposal for renewable sources of energy for projects, for solar projects in parks. We decided not to do this mainly because we think that we have an opportunity right now to use significant dollars from the stimulus fund to do this. There is a lot, you know, multiple conversations going on about, you know, what projects need to take priority, how do we use those dollars right now efficiently, what is the capacity of the state, how do we determine, you know, where these dollars need to go. And my recommendation here is that we do not use Parks and Trails funding for that purpose yet, simply because we have significant needs in Parks and Trails that we really need to address. And maybe in the future we can talk more about it after we kind of learn from this process that we're engaging in with the stimulus funding. And Parks and Trails are eligible. Parks are eligible for that funding anyway, so that doesn't prevent, you know, us from going after those dollars. But I didn't want to recommend that we use Parks and Trails dollars to for those specific purposes. Any other questions? Members, I think we, Senator Anderson.
Well, Madam Chair, if you'd like, I would move the bill.
Yes, I.
Madam Chair, I would move that Senate File 2043 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Finance Division.
Thank you. On that motion, any comments, any questions? All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion is adopted. Well, members, thank you for your work and your support, and I think this is going to be now part of our big legacy funding bill, and we're going to have another conversation once we put these pieces together, but I really want to thank the staff for working with me on this, and many people in the audience who came to really give me extraordinary information about all the work that is being done in the state of Minnesota, so I really appreciate your input. Thank you. And now we can adjourn. Thank you.